is, I guess, you need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. So basically, you don't have to believe it, accept it, welcome it. Some of it might be hard to believe, and some of it you just flat out might not like. But if you use it, you'll see that it works. So I'm going to talk about today, what is the role of words in healing? It's on page 53 in the Teacher's Manual of the Course in Miracles.
I have a really good tape on this, too.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. So I'm going to read the section, and then we'll come back and discuss it. So what is the role of words in healing? If you want to have a healing, what role do words play? How important are words if you want to have a healing? Well, strictly speaking, words play no part at all in healing. The motivating factor is prayer or asking. What you ask for, you receive. But this refers to the prayer of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. Sometimes the words in the prayer are contradictory. Sometimes they agree. It doesn't matter. God doesn't understand words. God does not understand words because words were made by separated minds to keep them in the illusion of separation. Words can be helpful, particularly for the beginner. Words can be helpful in helping concentration and facilitating the exclusion or at least the control of extraneous thoughts. Let us not forget, however, that words are but symbols of symbols. So words are thus twice removed from reality. As symbols, page 53, as symbols, words have quite specific references. Even when words seem most abstract, the picture that comes to mind is apt to be very concrete. Unless a specific referent does occur to the mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning and thus cannot help the healing process. The prayer of the heart does not really ask for concrete things. The prayer of the heart always requests some kind of experience, the specific things asked for being the bringers of the desired experience in the opinion of the asker. The words then are symbols for the things asked for, but the things themselves but stand for the experiences that are hoped for. The prayer for things of this world will bring experiences of this world. If the prayer of the heart asks for experiences of this world will be given because experiences of this world will be received. It's impossible that the prayer of the heart remain unanswered in the perception of the one who asks. If you ask for the impossible, if you want what doesn't exist, and if you seek for illusions in your heart, all this becomes your own. The power of your decision offers it to you as you request. Herein lie hell and heaven. The sleeping Son of God has but this power, the power of decision left to him. It's enough. Your words don't matter. Only the word of God has any meaning because it symbolizes that which has no human symbols at all. The Holy Spirit alone understands what this word stands for, and this too is enough. Now, is the teacher of God then, are you to avoid the use of words in your teaching? No, indeed. There are many who must be reached through words, being as yet unable to hear in silence. The teacher of God, you must, however, learn to use words in a new way, which means gradually you learn how to let the words be chosen for you by ceasing to decide for yourself what you will say. This process of letting your words be chosen for you by ceasing to decide for yourself what you will say, this process is merely a special case of the lesson in the workbook that says, I will step back and let him lead the way. I will step back and let God lead the way. You, the teacher of God, accepts the words which are offered you, and then you give as you receive. You don't control the direction of your speaking. You listen, hear, and speak. A major hindrance in this aspect of your learning is the teacher of God's, your fear about the validity of what you hear. And what you hear may indeed be quite startling. It may also seem to be quite irrelevant to the presented problem as you perceive it, and may in fact confront you, the teacher, with a situation that appears to be very embarrassing to you. All these are judgments that have no value. These judgments are your own, coming from a shabby self-perception which you would leave behind. Judge not the words that come to you, but offer the words that come to you in confidence. The words that come to you are far wiser than your own. God's teachers have loved words behind their symbols, and God himself gives the words you use the power of his spirit, raising the words you use from meaningless symbols to the call of heaven itself. Okay, so with the Course in Miracles, always remember that it's always working at the level of the mind, and it's always working at the level of perception. So everything we're talking about perception, and we're talking about ideas and thoughts that work at the level of the mind. And then the Course says it's only talking about love and fear. So all the religious terminology could be reduced to love and fear. So if you want the instant regular English translation of the Course, it's love or fear. That's all it's talking about, love or fear. Sometimes fear takes the form of anger, sickness, depression, attack, lack. Sometimes people are afraid and they're angry. Or they're afraid and they act like they're not afraid. They're so afraid to show they're afraid. And love is joy. Love is peace. Love is abundance. Love is health. So love is more than a romantic emotion that's going on between two people. Actually, love isn't a romantic emotion that's going on between two people. That's fear. Okay, so the first paragraph says that, you know, people are wondering, well, you know, how important are the words I use as far as healing? And then the Course defines healing as undoing fear. So I like to share the Course in Miracles definitions of the terms. 25 years of being obsessed with this, believe me, I can save you some time. Okay. But that definitely doesn't take the place of you checking it out. And then, oh yeah, the other thing I want to share is, don't put anything that I say or this book says before the feeling of your own being. Okay? You know, it's about going inside and trusting yourself. Going inside and trust yourself. So if I say something that doesn't resonate for you, doesn't work for you, now, it doesn't mean that what I'm saying is wrong. It just means that it might not be what you want to use right now. So it's okay. Okay? Okay. So first thing the Course says, then, is strictly speaking, words don't have anything to do with healing. That what really brings about healing in any situation is praying. And he says praying is asking. And whatever you ask for, you receive. So the Course says now, we're going to receive the prayers of our heart, which means that you get what you're asking for in your heart, not necessarily the words that you're using. Okay, that means sometimes the words that you're using in the prayer, like for instance, I might say, I really want the perfect relationship for me. In my heart, because of all the things I've gone through in the past, I'm absolutely afraid of having a relationship. So even though I'm saying I want one, if I'm still hurting from the ones in the past or still afraid, then the prayer of my heart is, please keep them away from me. You know, I'm not ready to get too close to nobody right now. In my heart, I'm afraid. But my words said, come on. So that's why it's funny to me. Whenever I think that I've been asking for something that hasn't shown up, I always have to remind myself that I don't want it in my heart. I might be saying I want it, but if I really wanted it, I would receive it, because the rule is that as spiritual beings, we're totally capable of having whatever it is that we ask for, because we are part of this infinite creative power, and so we also have the same power within us. So we do receive what we ask for, but then the Spirit says what? It's what you ask for in your heart. And he says sometimes, sometimes the words agree, sometimes the words don't. But he says, well, God doesn't understand words. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. You know why? He said love doesn't understand words, because love doesn't need words, because love is completely one, it's completely joined. It's all knowing. It's nothing. You don't have to, like, inform the Creator. Like, you know, to give the Creator 411. About what's going on. It's like infinite intelligence does not need our advice. So words not really something that love. It's almost like, if I really love you, Bunny, the words you say to me don't really matter. What really matters is the way I feel about you and the connection that we have. That's the most important thing. The words don't really matter. So even if you're mad at me today, the love that we got is so strong, we both know that's a temporary thing and you're going to go past it. Why? Because we got love. Yeah. See, words don't really matter where there's love. Right. Words matter where there's not love.
Yeah. That's good news.
Somebody that don't love you needs you to say everything just right.
Uh-huh.
Somebody that does love you, they don't even care what you're saying as long as the motivation is love.
Mm-hmm.
So the Course says, really, we made up words. And the words keep us in the illusion of separation. For instance, I'm a man named Earl, and this is a woman, and that's a man, and that's a man, and that's a man, and that's a man, and that's a woman, man, man. Okay, if you notice me, what I've done is I've just taken the whatever this is, the one whatever it is, and now I've divided it up by words. So it's actually naming things that make us think that we are not connected. So words, he says, words just keep us in the illusion of separation. They just keep us in the truth is I'm a loving being, you're a loving being, and we both have a human experience and we creating our reality and we learning things. We're really the same. But since you think I'm Earl and I think you're whoever you are, then our names and our words and our descriptions and our labels keep us in the illusion of being separate from each other. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I hear people say, my child is a part of me, right? But their child is just as separate from them as you are. They'll say, I feel like my child is part of me. But their child could be sitting on the sofa just like you are. So that feeling that somebody's a part of you has nothing to do with bodies. So the idea that we're separate just because our bodies look like they are has nothing to do with us being separate, because you could claim me as being a part of you as easy as you claim your child as being part of you.
There's something wrong that's from that person's side of the family.
There you go.
Well, okay, which is a perfect example of what it just said. You're using words to keep you in the illusion of separation. Now I'm going to use the word of the other side of the family. See, those are words. Those are all words I keep, you know, I'm black, you're white, we can't get along. Those are words of separation. And that's what the book is saying. It's what's keeping us separate is the words. I'm a man, you're a woman, they never can get along, they never can understand each other, they're so different. Words.
Mm-hmm.
See, so he said, but then I love the Course, because he turns around and he says, well, words can be helpful,
mm-hmm.
particularly for the beginning, because what words do is, he said, they help facilitate concentration and they keep you from thinking about anything other than the words that you're talking about. For instance, I always like to do for instance, because when the Course says something, it's really simple, but sometimes the mind will make it sound really complex. In other words, if I was sitting up here and I said to myself, all I want to focus on right now is what makes me feel peace. Okay, like I'm using words, right? But the words are helping me concentrate on peace. And the words are helping me not to pay attention to anything else that's not going to give me peace. So what the words do is they facilitate concentration and also help you exclude the thoughts you don't want to hear. Like if I'm going to say to myself, I'm a loving man and I deserve to be loved. Okay, if I use those words, that's facilitating me concentrating on the idea of being a loving man that only deserves love. So when someone tells me I don't, then saying I'm a loving man that only deserves love helps me dismiss the other stuff that's coming my way. So words are great for facilitating concentration and helping you alleviate the thoughts that you don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he says, but we must remember, though, that words are still symbols of symbols, which means that words are twice removed from reality. A word is a symbol. In other words, Earl Purdy's body is a symbol of separation. My body is a symbol of separation. And when you call it a body, then the word body is a symbol of a symbol. So words are twice removed from reality. The reality is that we're spirit and we're beyond the body. Words are nothing but names for symbols of separation.
Mm-hmm.
See, my body is the symbol that I'm separate from you, and your body is the symbol you're separate from me. There wouldn't be a separate Earl without a separate body to have a separate Earl in. So when you look at my body then and call it a body, that's a symbol of this symbol. But this symbol is a symbol of separation. And who Earl is beyond the body. Earl is a spiritual being. Okay? All right, so that's any comments or questions about, we take a few minutes, and I'm going to try to get through all this, because each paragraph has an incredible thing, so I'm going to try to limit the discussion at least to 2 or 3 minutes so we can hear this whole thing, because it's one of those sections that it's so powerful that I'd like for us to hear the whole thing today. But anybody needing a clarification about the first paragraph? Anything about it that doesn't make sense?
So how do we know what's in our heart? Like, if we're not getting what we're asking for, how do we know? Like,
okay, here you go. You're not going to like this, maybe, but I'll tell you anyway. Okay. But yeah, I don't know. You might. But according to the, and again, we talk according to the course. So we're not really saying, I'm not saying there's not other ways of looking at things, but this is a course class, and I'm just sharing course ideas, okay? You live in the world of your heart. What you are surrounded by and the way you perceive your reality is a reflection of what you're asking for in your heart. So you don't have to go any further to find out what you're asking for in your heart than what you're experiencing. Because what you're experiencing is what you're asking for in your heart. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that's one of those obvious truths that's difficult sometimes to receive if a person thinks that they're experiencing things that they don't like. But if you're coming from fear, you are going to draw things to you that you don't like. That's just a natural consequence of coming from fear and separation. But since so many people do it, We in order for us not to go crazy, we had to call some of the fears pleasures.
Like what? What do you mean?
Okay. There are some fears that we pick out, and we will define them as pleasures. Like, sort of like if you're on a roller coaster, you're screaming your head off. It's a fear. But it's a fear that you've defined as pleasure. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a romantic relationship with you, and it looks like we can't get, like I was at dinner last night, and I saw this couple, and their faces were that close together the whole night. And about after every sentence or two, he'd go, and then they was like gone. You know what I'm saying? Like they were in that space. Wasn't nobody else on earth. There wasn't even a building. There wasn't nobody. And, okay, but if either one of them became afraid of losing the other, then in that romantic relationship that they see as pleasurable, it's really a form of fear, because there's the fear of loss. So a lot of things that we call love are really just fear that we're calling love. It's like if I really loved you, I wouldn't be afraid of losing you. So if I say I love you and I'm afraid of losing you, then what I'm really feeling is fear. But I'll call it love. I'll say, I really love you. That's why I'm feeling so much fear. And we don't see the absolute contradiction of that statement. They're totally opposite.
In reality, you haven't lost anyone.
But from the level of illusion, which is the level of thinking that we're just bodies that die, of course it looks like we've lost people, and it looks like you've lost. I mean, the Course doesn't deny that from the perception of separation, all of this seems like it's the ultimate reality. But from the perception of the truth, you realize that this is a learning experience, that we're supposed to be in the physical body, bringing love, making heaven love manifest. We are here to let love come through us and be manifested. We're here to take what we really are and let it express in a creative way in this realm. But what we really are is beyond the vehicle that we're using to express ourselves. And so we get here according to this, and then we identify with our body, and then we identify with everything we've learned, and we identify with everything we've been taught, and then we make up an identity based on that, and then we call that identity ourselves, and then we go about trying to get its fantasies acted out, and then building grievances up against other people because they don't do what we think they ought to be doing in order to help us act out our fantasy, whether that's the fantasy of being successful, or the fantasy of being the right lover, or the fantasy of, you know what I'm saying? We call them goals. That's the cold name. My goal. Right? And then the average person builds up grievances because other people are not acting out the script that they have made up for that person in order for them to achieve their goals. And you'll say stuff like, you don't support me, or, you know, all the other guilty, manipulative things that the mind does to try to get another person to do their bidding. You know. And so when you realize that's not who you are, then that's when you get in touch with your real self, and then you can control that part of you that gets caught up in all that kind of stuff. But you can't control it as long as you're caught up in it. You know what I'm saying?
And that's where we use words, because when you keep telling us stories
about
things you bump into, you use words to say to yourself it's a call for love, and a little thing that you do.
Right,
sort of
right,
yourself through.
Right.
Because that was sort of the last
piece that we read there was about using words to help you to focus.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why
I'm
was
still doing that. It's okay.
Well, like my lesson today is I'm not a victim of the world I see.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So if somebody's upset me, as soon as possible, I need to remember I'm not a victim of that person. That I'm the one that's deciding how I experience this experience with them. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? So those words are helping me concentrate on the truth, but that doesn't mean that emotionally I may necessarily feel zippity-doo-dah as soon as I say that to myself. So a lot of times people won't practice the truth because they think unless they get a different emotional reaction immediately, what's the point? Mm-hmm. But what the point is it's helping you concentrate on the thoughts you know you want to build. You want to build the thought, I'm not a victim. You want to build the thought that I have power. Mm-hmm. So even if emotionally you feel like you're a victim, just reminding yourself of that is still moving you in the right direction, yeah, regardless of the way you feel about what you're saying. Just the fact that you could remember to even say to yourself you're not a victim is helping you concentrate. See? Mm-hmm. So the course is so, what I love about it is it's so logical. Based on the premise of love is logical. Based on the premise of fear, it sounds insane. Okay? I don't deny that some of this stuff will sound insane to the part of us that thinks it's a body. Right? So then the next sentence says, I love this. He said words have quite concrete specific references. He says even when a word seems abstract, a picture will come to mind that's very concrete. Like if I would say the word God, that's an abstract concept, but usually people have a picture or a concept that comes to their mind, even when you say that. Mm-hmm. Then it says, well, unless there's a specific referent in conjunction with the word doesn't mean anything to you. For instance, I do astrology, so it's nothing but another language just like this. It's just another way to get information. But if I was to say to those of you who don't know about astrology, that today Mars is conjunct Mercury in the 11th house, that really moved y'all, didn't it? notice how everybody reacted. Okay, why? Because, just like he says, unless there's a specific referent in conjunction to the word doesn't mean anything to you. Unless there's something you could reference from what I just said, then it didn't mean anything. Like if I said cake, everybody go, okay, why? Because you had a referent. Mm-hmm. Immediately. And so that's what the course is telling us, that unless you can get some kind of a referent, the word doesn't have any kind of healing powers. Mm-hmm. Unless I can get some kind of referent in my mind, like when it says, like for me, if I go, I ask for a healing, and then I've learned from the Course in Miracles that healing means the undoing of fear, then if I was to go, what I'm asking for in this situation is an undoing of fear, then the word healing has more meaning to me. All of a sudden, healing has a whole new meaning to me. So I have to have a referent. And so the Course is trying to give us a reference by saying stuff like, you know, God and the Holy Spirit and happiness and joy, that's love, that you're innocent. You know, it's trying, okay, ego, that's your fear. Anger, that's your fear. It's trying to give us reference because all of us have experienced what we think of as love and experienced at some time what we think of as fear. So it immediately gives us a good reference. He says, but the thing we need to understand is that when you ask for something in your heart, he says, you're not asking for a concrete thing. When you ask for something in your heart, you're asking for an experience. So when I say, you know, I want a car, it's not really that I want a physical car so much as in my heart I want whatever I think the experience of having a physical car is going to give me. If I say I want a
feeling, is that what you mean?
Whatever, it's I'm requesting an experience. And an experience would be what you would receive and react to and feel. You know, because we're only talking about love or fear. So we're really saying, in everything I ask for, I'm either asking for an experience of love or fear, or I'm asking for an experience of peace or conflict. Yeah. So, for instance, if you say you want a car, what you want is the experience of the peace that you would have from having reliable transportation and being able to go where you want to go. So what you wanted was the experience of peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she said car, but she wanted peace. Mm-hmm. I said relationship, but I want love. I say I want a trip to Hawaii, but I really want the experience of the freedom of being there. You see what I'm saying? It's like no matter what words you're using, it's really an experience that you're trying to have. So the universe reacts to the experience that you're at, wants to give you the experience that you're asking for. Okay. So I might say, you know, I want to have peace in my life, right? And then if I ask for peace, then peace will take the specific form that would allow me to have it. We do it just the opposite. We pick out the forms and then try to force the peace through them or make them give us love. I want to be with you, but I don't want to be with you, but I'm going to make you love me. See, I chose the form. Now I'm going to make you give me the experience that I want. Or I could go, I would really love to have the experience of love and then see what form love takes. And then love will create the relationship that will be drawn to me based on me and love me the way I am. And not only love me the way I am, but absolutely desires me as much as I desire it. So it won't be no seduction, won't be no manipulating, won't be no getting, won't be no forcing, won't be no making. I want nobody to make love.
Yeah,
I don't want nobody to make love. Making love is phony.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's create some love. Let's extend some love. Let's join in some love. But I don't want to make love. That's, you know, what does that mean? It's not a cake. Let's go to the oven and make some love. You know what I'm saying? Then everybody got their own idea of what it's about, and then they got books that describe how you do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like fun. It's like the more you're in the love, the less you're in the technique. Technique don't matter to two people who love each other. They could sit next to each other and get as big of an orgasm as they ever would doing 100 positions of the Kama Sutra. You know what I'm saying? That's all that's the kind of stuff you have to... Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that at all. I'm just saying that all that stuff that you do like that shouldn't really matter. It should be great if it happens, great if it don't, because we got love. It shouldn't be, I'm not going to have the love unless you can twirl around from your toe from the ceiling. You know.
That's funny.
You know, I mean, does that make sense? That's a symbol of a symbol, ain't it?
I know.
I had a lot of symbols in my 20s.
Yeah.
But, the symbols cut way down now. What is the symbols? But when it's a symbol, it's a real symbol. You can believe that.
So it's a state of mind.
Totally. 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 You know, and that's what he's trying to get us to see right now, that the words are just symbols of things that you're asking for, but the thing that you're asking for is standing for an experience that you're hoping to have. If I say I want a relationship, it's an experience I'm hoping to have. If I say I want to do a class, it's an experience that I'm hoping to have. So words are just symbols of symbols. That's all they are. Okay? And then he says, now this is the part that's really a trip. That the next part of it, the course says that every time you ask for something of the world, then it brings you an experience of the world, and you will receive an experience of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because if you ask for something in your heart, it's totally impossible for you not to receive it. And every time you ask for something that doesn't exist, then you're asking for some kind of an illusion or something that hurts you or fools you. So when you ask for something unreal, the Course says, you can tell that you're asking for something unreal, because every time you ask for something unreal, it's the love that doesn't last. It's the happiness that doesn't last. It's the peace that doesn't last. And if you ask for that in your heart, you'll get it. Now, that explains the world. The world seems to be full of people that's asking for peace that doesn't last. Because if you talk to the average person in the world, they're always telling you what they're upset about. So if this is true, then what I'm doing constantly is I'm asking for peace that doesn't last in my heart. But I don't know it. And that's the key to innocence, is when I say we don't know it. The Course says the only thing that it's doing is bringing the unconscious into conscious. In other words, it's making us aware of decisions that we're making that we don't know we're making, because we don't know how powerful we are. And then we get the result of the decision, but we don't realize we're the one who made it.
Yeah.
So then the mind projects out that it's somebody else that created it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you spend all your time trying to fix them. You get the trick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's because of a subconscious decision that's being made for fear.
Mm-hmm.
The people ask, well, why would I do that? Well, then think about it. You're born into the world. First thing you hear, at least I heard as a Southern Baptist, was that I was going to hell, basically, and that Christ died because of my sins, and I was basically a flawed being. Okay, so the minute I get the idea that I'm flawed and I'm a being that creates through thought, then I start creating from a very young age, drawing to things to me from a very young age that's pleasurable and painful, like somebody who's messed up should be receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So then it locks me into that whole thing of the more I punish myself, the more innocent I become, and the better person I am, the more I suffer. Mm-hmm. And because I want to be a good person, then I start setting up all of this struggle and drama for myself through my relationships, my career, my job, and it looks like it's just overwhelming sometimes. But I don't really realize that what I'm doing is giving myself the struggle that I think I need to become strong and good. Because I've been taught that that's how you build character. And that's what makes you a good person, is how hard you struggle. You follow me? Uh-huh. Okay. So if thought is created and then I create a reality that is a struggle, then I'm bitching and moaning about a reality that I'm creating myself to prove to myself how strong I am.
That's insane.
Then the truth comes in and says, do you know there's another way you could be experiencing this? And then I can be so addicted to my old way that I want to dismiss the new way as being poppycock. Because I got so much time invested in struggle, the struggle way. So the Course says that we only have one power left to us, and that's the power of decision. And so if you realize that you can decide for peace, and you can decide for love, and you can decide for abundance, he said, that's where heaven and hell lies, in your decisions. It's either my decision that'll bring me peace, or it's my decision that's going to jam me up. So he said, that's heaven and hell, right? And then at the very end, he says, your words don't really matter, because the only words that really matter are the words of love, the words of God, the words of truth, whatever words you want to use for anything higher than us. He said, why don't your words matter? He said, because the only thing that really matters is the truth and love. That's the only thing. He said, but what is your last power left to you? Well, you can decide that you're going to move your life in a different direction no matter where it's been going from so far. You can start to choose for peace where you used to choose for conflict, and you're going to always receive what you ask for in your heart. And by the way, what you are experiencing is what you're asking for in your heart. But you don't know it, so you need to get some new words that will help you start concentrating on loving yourself.
Can we just review that for me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I hear a lot of stuff.
I know.
What I'm hearing you say is that if what I'm experiencing is drama in my life or struggle in my life, it's because in my heart, I don't believe I deserve to be at peace, even though thinking I'm asking for peace.
Exactly.
I think I'm asking.
Think about our society. Take it outside of the personal realm and it'll make a lot more sense. You know, just go out there and tell people, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm unlimited.
You're arrogant.
We associate humility with self-debasement. If you put yourself down, if you go, oh, I'm not enough, oh, I'm not really that cute, oh, I'm not really that good, oh, I don't really have a talent. You really mean that? Yes, you do. Right. That's what I'm saying. Because we've been taught if you put yourself down, if you humble yourself, then somehow it makes you a good person. Or if you've been taught that you were born in sin, okay, then you're inherently flawed in some way. And so a person is, you could take it another. It could just be the programming you got through your parents and your early environment. It could be just the people that you were raised with didn't remind you of your beauty all the time. So you got some kind of a feeling that maybe you weren't enough. And that core belief that you're not enough, that's what you're asking for in your heart, is a witness to what you believe about yourself. What people really want to always experience is what they believe about themselves. Or what they believe. That's what people argue about. They argue about beliefs. You got your belief, I got my belief, we're going to battle each other to see whose belief is the real belief. And it really don't matter. I'm so glad I got to the point that I'm really beginning to understand it really don't matter. You know, it's okay for you to have your beliefs. I don't need to change your beliefs. I don't have to try to get you to think no other way other than how you want to think. Because what's going to come to me is what I think. What's going to come to me is not what you think. So it's a full-time job just trying to facilitate my words. That long me go, I'm going to fix yours. But your words will take care of you, I promise you. Because your words will draw to you what it is you are asking for in your heart. There'll be, you know, at some level in your heart, you'll get what you want. So the Course is just trying to cut beneath the surface and go, well, you know what you really want, don't you? You really want peace. You really want safety. You really want joy. You really want abundance. You really want to connect. You really want freedom. I know you think it's a house. I know you think it's a car. I know you think it's a relationship. I know you think it's getting your body a certain size. I know you think da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the words. But what you really want is to connect with your source. What you really want to do is have power. What you really want to do, you want real security. See what I mean? It's like what is your heart asking for? That's what he says is what you're going to receive. It's what your heart is asking for. So then it goes on. Then it goes on to say, well, in that case, should I avoid using words? If words really don't play no big part in healing, why should I use words? And I love this. The answer is, he says, because there are a lot of people that you can't reach them in silence. There are some people you can be totally silent with each other and y'all be totally in communion. Mm-hmm. And y'all be totally communicating. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people, the Course says, that they don't know how to listen in silence. Some people's minds are so worried and so concerned and so analytical and so whatever, it's going all the time, that they don't actually know how to be quiet long enough to listen to what their real self is telling them. So some people, he said, you know, some people, he says, they can't meditate. They can't go within. So those people, and I'm one of those people, he says, then I need words. Mm-hmm. I need you to give me some words. I can't tell myself how loving I am yet. But it'd be nice if you told me I love you. And I see you as a valuable person. Because I can't hear that in silence. So he says, but this is what you got to do. He says, we got to learn how to use words in a new way. Okay, so we're going to use words, right? Then he says, you got to learn how to use them in a new way. So we're still going to use words, but we have to what? Learn how to use them in a new way. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that's a trip. Okay. But it might make more sense to you if you think of it this way. There's you that you think you are, and then there's really you. The real you is perfect, is whole, is complete, is unlimited, is loving, is incredible, it's abundant, it's wise. Okay, just pretend that for a minute. Okay? All right. So when the Course says, you're going to learn how to let your words be chosen for you by ceasing to decide for yourself what you will say. It's saying that this is just the same as you saying, I'm going to step back at an ego level and I'm going to let my higher self lead me. I'm going to let my God self lead me. I'm going to let my real self lead me. I'm going to step back. I'm going to let my words be. In other words, I could talk to you spontaneously right now, or I could go, what is it that my inner self, or what is it that the Course is telling me that I should share right now? Well, the Course is telling me I should share with you that you will receive the things of your heart, that the prayers of the heart. See, that wasn't my idea. That at this level, that was me stepping back, letting my words be chosen for me. Let's say you call me a dog, and Earl wants to go back, well, you a dog. Okay, but letting my words be chosen for me would be me stepping back and asking myself what would be the thing for me to say right now. And then let my real self say, well, you know, that was just a call for love. So maybe you just need to meet that with some silence. See, I'm letting my words or no words be chosen for me. It's like when you step back for a minute from your reactionary self and then let your real self tell you what to do, that's letting your words be chosen for you. And that's God. You know, that real self. So he says, you accept the words which are offered you, and then you give the words that you receive, and you don't try to control the direction of what you're speaking. In other words, he says, you just listen, and I do that a lot during the class. I just take a second and I listen, and then I literally be told the next thing to say. Then I'll hear it, and then I'll speak it. Sometimes what I'm told to say startles me because it seems like it's the last thing I ought to say. And then I'll say it, and then the class will react more to it than what I would have said. You know what I mean? It's like the Course is saying you have to learn how to, especially when you're upset, to take a breath and listen to yourself. Then you hear what you're saying to yourself. I mean your real self, not the one that wants to attack, if you can. And then you speak. You listen, hear, and speak. Like right now, who would care to say something that they are listening to in their mind and they hear it right now and they speak it? Anybody? Pretend that we know each other and we meet every week.
See, I was thinking about counseling.
Okay.
Okay. Because I was thinking about some of these things that, you know, you can say you want peace, and I know people that are counselors, and that's what they do, right? Is that they help people in that way. And I used to be, And so I'm thinking, well, I'm hearing from this that that might be useful then for people to help them to undo some of the old thought system that says, no, I'm not good enough, I'm not.
You're still using words, but you use them in a new way. Yeah. See, that's, okay, I'm glad you said that because that's another point from the course that I wanted to say, that one of the basic premises of the course is that when you see correctly and your mind is healed, then you take everything that you've made and every skill that you've learned and you use it to free yourself and to heal and be helpful where you used to use it to limit yourself. So it's not that just because I get into the truth, now I got to throw out my skill as a musician or a teacher or a secretary, whatever I do, is that spirit to use whatever my gifts are to free me and heal me and others, where I used to use it to create conflict. Like people said sometimes, well, if you're doing this Course in Miracles stuff, then how can you still do astrological stuff? And I said, well, if you're doing the Course in Miracles stuff, how can you be a secretary? Or why are you doing what you do? It's no different. Is that whatever I learned to do before I learned this is being used to be helpful to people, just like whatever you're doing can be used to be helpful to people. It's not about becoming less effective in the physical world. If you're hearing this right, you become more effective in the physical world and you have more fun doing it. That's what I'm hearing. That everything I used to hurt myself through could be used to help me and to heal me if I'm willing to use it in a new way. He says, that's why you have to listen, hear, and speak. Now, this is the last paragraph. We might actually make it. That's why I tape everything. I got over 100 classes online now that are available for listening to and downloading. And you can also subscribe to it for 1 month period, 3 month period, 6 month period, 12 month period, and then you get all the classes in the future in that period. So all these classes I'm doing are going to be available, and a lot of them are available right now. So if you get a chance, go to my website, earlpurdy.com, and sign the mailing list and check it out. Because you know and I know that what we're hearing right now, the temptation is going to be when we walk out of the door to go right back into that old man and forget. But it's funny, it's like while I'm saying this, it makes a lot of sense. Because it's the truth. But we forget. And so then he says, well, this is the major block you're going to have about learning how to listen to your higher self. This is the major hindrance you're going to have. He says the major problem that we're going to have is we're going to doubt the truth of what we're hearing. We're going to doubt whether or not I really should say what I'm hearing right now. Agree? That you may get some guidance and you'll doubt the validity of what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And he says, because what you may be told may be quite startling to you. And it may seem like the answer that you're told to give the person is totally irrelevant to the problem as they see it. In other words, if you tell me right now you can't pay your bills to keep your utilities on, and I tell you that the problem is that you need to forgive, that will seem totally irrelevant. The answer can sometimes, but I know that that is exactly why the person is in the position that they can't. If at some level there's a grievance going on, at some level there's a sense of separation and fear is going on. So there's a grievance that's creating the lack, that's taking the form of not being able to pay their bill. So actually forgiveness is what they need to do more than anything. But the answer will seem like it's irrelevant. You know, that's why in a sense you have to go ahead and feed them. Because they're not going to listen while they're hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, even though that's not the real problem. I can feed you one time, but if I don't teach you how to grow your own food and feed yourself, I have to come back every week and do it. So to do it at the level of the effect never solves the problem. Until you deal with the root causes, nothing really changes. So the Course says this is what you do. He said you may even be told to say something that's embarrassing to you. But he says these are all coming from your judgments, from your ego. He calls the ego the shabby self-perception. I think that's a great term. He said your shabby self-perception is telling you that you don't have something valuable to offer. That's your ego telling you that you don't have the right to share what you feel in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so the Course says, don't judge the words that come to you. Start offering them in confidence because they are far wiser than your own. Mm-hmm. Because it's not really the words that matter, what's going to do the healing is going to be the energy or the power of God behind the words. It really doesn't matter what words you use. What matters is the energy that you're sharing behind the words. I could tell you I'm sorry, but if you didn't feel it, it wouldn't mean nothing to you. So it's really the energy behind the words that does the healing. But we're caught up in, I got to say it just the right way. And the Course is saying, no, you want to have the power of love and the power of truth behind what you say. That's what's going to heal the situation. And he says that that the Creator will give your words the power of its spirit, and then what you're saying will really mean something, because it's coming from love, it's coming from truth. End of section. Dang.
Yeah.
Okay, so I shared it, then I shared it, I read it, then I shared it, and then we're going to do the love offering and stuff and make a few announcements, and then we're going to say what I said again real fast as a review to go out. All right?
Okay.
Okay. So, thank you. I may end up going over there. There's other things. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what's going to come from putting stuff out. So I'm glad about that. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, is the next Course in Miracles class. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next Course in Miracles class. On the last Saturday, the last Saturday in February, I'm going to do an advanced mind training one day. And it's going to be all day getting down healing session. It's going to be very intense. And for people who really know they need to go deeper right now, and they need to go deeper for a longer period of time, and I'm just going to do it like 25 people. So, and I'll be telling you more about that, but just keep that in mind, that if those who want to get a more in-depth level of learning with me with this stuff and some other related stuff that I want to bring in that's mind-boggling, then you might want to, you know, think about coming to it. Hey, brother. Mm-hmm. Very good. Pass this on.
I noticed yesterday I apologized to my ex-wife for the lack of compassion and understanding I had. And then I got a cold because I'm in Colorado instead of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do. It's just in the heart. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel.
Mm, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sped that process up. I could have been doing this for a long time.
Well, complication is something that we come up with when we don't want to change now. Then, you know, then I can have that. And of course, it causes the smoke screen of complexity. You know, it's just the way to hide the simple. You know, because I'm not ready to do it yet. You know, if I don't want to forgive you, then I got to have justification. And so I got to keep clearing my sight at all times where I need to make sure I never trust you. Any person say, well, you know, they'll take advantage of you. Okay. All right. But the truth is, If you can get into your true self and get into your heart, then you wouldn't have to worry about that. But you know, can't nobody prove that to you. You have to become it. And I used to like to have guarantees. Yeah. You can guarantee that if I'm gonna try to be more loving, that everybody gonna treat me right. I might give it a try, but you're gonna have to guarantee that I'm not gonna meet somebody that's gonna try to take advantage of me. You know what I'm saying? The truth is, I'm scared, and I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll come up with every reason in the world why I should watch it. And if I really want to be right, I'll make sure I choose somebody that's not trustworthy, and then have them hurt me again, and then I can really feel justified and never do it again.
Yeah.
Because then I got the living proof, and I never have to change because I got the proof right there. I tried. I listened to that stuff, and I tried, and I got messed over.
Well, what came up for me, Earl, remember the Bleep movie?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff about the water?
Mm-hmm.
If words could do that to water.
Yeah, yeah, how the words affected the water. Yeah.
Then if they could do that to water, imagine what they can do to you.
Yeah.
So I
thought, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then our bodies are made up mostly of water. So you just think about the thoughts that you're having all day on something that's primarily made up of water. And if that's, you know, if that's true, what are we doing to ourselves? So here's the last points. Paragraph of point one was to get us to really understand that words are helpful because they help us concentrate. And then in paragraph two, it was first introduced the idea that it doesn't matter what you're asking for, you're really asking for something in your heart, and you're going to get what you ask for in your heart. Paragraph three was the one that reminded us that the one power we still have left is the power of decision, so we can really start choosing what it is we really want in our heart. The next paragraph talked about, yeah, you have to use words, and you still do use words, and some people have to be reached through words, but you want to start using words, that you stop a minute and really listen first, then really hear what you're saying to yourself, and then you share it. Just take a pause. And then the last paragraph was saying that don't be stopped by doubting the validity of what you're getting ready to say if you're really coming from your heart. If I'm going to talk to you from my heart, you may not like it, you might like it, but I'm going to have to talk to you from my heart. You see the difference? If I'm talking to you from my heart, you might like it, you might not. You might get it, you might not get it. But I still got to talk to you from my heart. Because it's what I'm saying from my heart is what I'm asking for. That's what's going to come to me. Okay? End of Earl talking. Appreciate y'all. Y'all peace. There's no greater gift that you could give me than the opportunity to reinforce these beliefs in my mind. I mean, to me, that's what we're doing, is we're reinforcing the loving thoughts together and the power thoughts, you know. And it's a blessing. You're a blessing.